Jesus hath fled. Fear not, I am with thee, or be not dead.
Welcome to Through the Bible. Today, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, introduces the final series of judgments during the period of the Great Tribulation. And as he tells us, these are the most intense and devastating of any of the judgments that have preceded them. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host, and I'm glad that you've joined us for this important study in the book of Revelation. If you're a new listener, welcome aboard what Dr. McGee affectionately called the Bible Bus. Sitting around you are passengers from more than 160 countries listening in over 100 languages worldwide. Today, the Bible Bus travels through the end of Revelation 14 and begins chapter 15. Now, don't worry that we're in the last book of the Bible. Dr. McGee designed these broadcasts so that you can stop and start these studies anytime. In fact, in just a short month, we'll begin our 5-year journey again, our 10th trip, with a handful of introductory messages Dr. McGee called guidelines for the understanding of the scriptures. And then we jump right into our study of Genesis. It's an exciting time to travel through the Bible, so stay with us. Before we get started, you need to know a few important things. First, Dr. McGee, he designed our studies so that we move back and forth between the Old Testament and New Testament, giving us really an integrated look at who God is and how very much he loves each one of us. Secondly, if you miss a study and you want to catch up, you can listen online for free by streaming or downloading free MP3s. Or get our iPhone or Android app to take these messages with you on the go. All these free options are available to you on our website, ttb.org. Third, we also make the entire series available for purchase in CD or MP3 albums and a thumb drive if you'd like to share it with a family member or a friend. Again, our website is ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And last but not least, one of our favorite traditions here on Through the Bible is celebrating God's goodness and grace by sharing letters from fellow Bible Bus passengers whose lives have been changed by his word. In fact, let's do it right now. I'll share a letter. This is from our world prayer country of the day, Guatemala. Our first letter comes from Antonio, who recently wrote, "Once again, I have the privilege of writing to you to let you know the great blessings of our Heavenly Father, which has been showered on my life and the lives of my family as we listen to your wonderful studies. In each message, we are challenged to live honestly and righteously, even through the fires that life brings us. Please pray for us that we may remain strong in our faith and be bold in sharing the gospel." Isn't that great? You know, Antonio sounds like someone I'd like to meet. Here's another letter. This is from a listener in Guatemala who writes, "I've had the blessing of listening to you since I was 5 years old. I'm now 34. Yes, I am a 29-year listener. Over the years, I've learned a lot with the teachings, and now I am boarding this imaginary biblical bus with my two young daughters. Seeing my daughters listen to the program helps me recall so many days when I would get on board with my mom and my sister. I ask God's blessing for the whole Through the Bible team and that we will not be just hearers, but also collaborators spiritually and in your blessed ministry." And then our last letter comes from a listener named Vilma. "Dear brothers and sisters from Through the Bible, it's a profound blessing to listen to you every day. I've been listening for 10 years and your program has enriched my knowledge of the Word of God. I'm very thankful to God and to you for this effort in presenting the Word of God every day here in Guatemala. The book of Genesis impacted my heart upon hearing with such detail the lives of Abraham and of Jacob. I pray your teaching will impact others too." Well, aren't these wonderful letters? You know, Vilma's right. Genesis is a wonderful study. So why don't you stay with us on the Bible Bus as we finish up here in Revelation and then head toward Genesis in April. And if you'd like to join our world prayer team as we pray for God's people around the world, please visit us at ttb.org/pray. Now let's pray as we get to our study. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and your spirit who teaches us daily. As we study today, Lord, please help us to gain a deeper understanding of who you are and what your plans are for this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, as I indicated at the beginning, I'm dropping back to verses 19 and 20 of chapter 14. And I'm reading in my translation, "And the angel cast his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the winepress, the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city. And there came out blood from the winepress, even unto the bridles of the horses, as far as 1,600 furlongs. Now, we have called attention to the fact that the great tribulation period's going to be a harvest time. Not like we think of harvest time. We think of that as a time of winning people for Christ. But that's not the way that the Scripture uses the term. When you come to the end of any age, why, that is a harvest time. And somebody's going to say, but the Lord Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers into the harvest. And they said, look, he said that. Yes, but my friend, don't you realize what he was talking about? He was at the end of an age. In fact, he was going to change it. The age of the law was coming to an end, and he's wanting the word to get out so people will be prepared for the new age that was coming, the age of grace that we live in today, that rests upon his death and his resurrection for our sins. Now, the end of an age is the time of harvest, and that's the figure that's used here. And when you get here, you've come to the end of the age. The thing that the Lord Jesus mentioned, Paul had mentioned, and it ends with the great tribulation period. And we've come now to the end of the great tribulation period. And this sets before us this most awe-inspiring picture. It describes the scene that we have in Isaiah, the 63rd chapter. And we find out that that refers to the second coming of Christ to the earth. Let me read just a few verses there. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? And thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat. Now let me interject here this statement. This has been considered by many to be a picture of the death of Christ on the cross, and it actually has no reference to that at all. And this will make it clear. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. Again, let me say, he is seen treading the winepress alone, and it's positively terrifying. Little wonder that the men of the earth cried to the rocks to fall upon them and hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. Now this is the sad end of that civilization, which at the Tower of Babel demonstrated an active rebellion against God, which has been mounting up like a mighty crescendo ever since, and it will break in all of its fury in the great tribulation period. And this is a rebellion against God. And the Lord Jesus, as we'll see in the 19th chapter, when he comes, he's going to put that down in order to establish his kingdom here upon the earth. And as the second Psalm says, he will break them like a potter's vessel with a rod of iron. You see, the gentle Jesus that we've heard so much about and the good fella that he's presented today is just not the Lord Jesus of the Word of God. He is the Savior of the world, but he's also the judge of all the world also. And if you do not accept his blood shed for you, then may I say that your blood will be shed in this period that's coming upon the earth. That is, if it would come in your lifetime and you would enter the great tribulation period. Now, I don't think that any careful study of the Word of God would lead any person of reasonable intelligence to believe that the church is going through this awful period. My feeling is that a great many feel like the great tribulation will be like taking a little boy to the barber to get his hair cut. Just an unpleasant thing that he doesn't relish at all, and he squirms through it the entire operation. Or that it is a trip to the dentist to have a tooth pulled, and we don't like the trip at all, and we don't enjoy having the tooth pulled, but it's something that you're going through, and they want to push the church into it. My friend, you just haven't seen what the Great Tribulation really is. Now, again, we have a picture given to us in Isaiah 34, and I begin reading here at verse 1. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It's made fat with fatness, with the blood of the lambs and goats, and so on. What a picture that you have here. In other words, the precious blood of the Lamb, having been rejected, the blood of those who defied God and followed and worshiped the beast, bathes the earth. It is frightful, like a ripe grape is mashed and the juice flies in every direction, so will little man fall into the vat of God's judgment. This is Armageddon. This is the mount of slaughter. And without the city means Jerusalem. And unto the bridles of the horses means about 3 or 4 feet deep. And 1,600 furlongs is about 185 miles. And that's the distance from Dan to Beersheba. All of Palestine is the scene of this final war that ends in what is called Armageddon. It is a campaign beginning about the middle of the Great Tribulation and is concluded by the personal return of Christ to the earth. Psalm 45, verse 3 gives us that. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness, hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Psalm 45 is a messianic psalm. Now, I make no apology for saying all of this. And God hasn't asked me to apologize for his word. He's told me to give it out. We need to face up to the facts. Sin is an awful thing. Sin is in the world. You and I are sinners. And the only remedy is the redemption that Christ offered when he shed his blood for you and me and paid the penalty for our sins. And you and I merit the judgment of God. And our only escape is to accept the work of Christ on Calvary's cross for us. And the Bible asks a question that even God can't answer. And it is, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Escape what? Judgment. The great tribulation is judgment. And the way out is to accept Christ. Call it an escape mechanism if you want to. But my friend, when the house is on fire, I'll go out a window. I'll go out anyway. That is an escape mechanism. And this judgment must inevitably come on Christ's rejectors. Men have rejected him and treated his sacrifice as an unclean thing. They've trodden underfoot the Son of God. And if God is just, and he is, there will be judgment. And this age needs to hear that, but it's not hearing it today. There's so much given, little methods of living the Christian life. My friend, there's nothing that'll straighten you out like knowing that our God is a holy God and the Lord Jesus Christ is righteous and he's not going to tolerate sin in your life and my life. Now, that's the thing that is needed today. And I notice that many are saying that little Willie should be disciplined. I'm amazed at some of the psychologists today are saying it wasn't because Mama didn't love him as much as she should have. That the trouble with little Willie is he's just a mean little brat. That's his problem. He's a mean little brat, and he should be turned across your knee and not treated like a cross between a piece of Dresden china and an orchid, but that the Board of Education should be applied to the seat of knowledge today. All right, that brings us now to chapter 15. And here we have another sign in heaven, seven angels with the seven last plagues. And we have the pouring out of these seven mixing bowls of wrath in chapters 15 and 16. I imagine many of you thought the worst was over. Not now. The worst is yet to come. And each one of these sevens, beginning as we saw with the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven personalities, and now we have the seven bowls of wrath. And this is the worst of all, friend. Don't tell me that the church can be purified in the Great Tribulation. The purpose of the Great Tribulation is judgment. It's to give Satan his final opportunity. And God's going to remove his church because of the fact of his marvelous infinite grace. And if you're willing to have it, then you can escape. And believe me, it's no blessed hope looking for the seven bowls of wrath. No, we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And if we get in love with him, we'll get our minds off of these things as being terrifying. That is, we don't have to say, oh, I don't want to study the book of Revelation. It reveals all those terrible things, and I'd like to keep my head in the sand like an ostrich has more sense to do. And therefore, I'd rather not hear about it. My friend, you're not going through it if you've trusted Christ, but you need to know what the others will have to go through. And that might make you a zealous witness for Christ today. That's the reason we're getting the word out today. Someone said of Dwight L. Moody that at his time he looked into the faces of more people than any man that ever lived, and he reduced the population of hell by 2 million. Well, may I say that I'd like to be in the business of reducing the population of hell. They're talking today about reducing the population and to get rid of the population explosion. Well, hell has had a population explosion now for years. I'd like to help reduce that. And now we come to these seven bowls. Here we have in chapter 15 and 16 that which actually belongs together. Revelation 15 we're coming to now is the shortest chapter in Revelation. But it actually is the preface to this final series of judgments which come on the earth during the Great Tribulation period. And these judgments are the most intense and devastating of any that have preceded them. Before these angels begin to pour out the bowls of wrath, there may be the question still in the minds of some if they are able to stand up against Antichrist. And if that question has not been answered to the satisfaction of the reader, it's answered here. There will be those that will be made to stand. And we have, first of all, now the preparation of the final judgment of the great tribulation. And the tribulation saints in heaven worship God because he's holy. And this is another interlude, by the way. Now, let's notice this. And I saw another sign in the heaven, great and wonderful. Seven angels having seven plagues, which are the last, for in them was finished the wrath of God. This will bring us to the end of the great tribulation period. And I don't know about you, I'll be glad to get to the end of it. And then we'll see the coming of Christ to the earth. John again assures us when he says, and I saw, that he's still a spectator to these events. He's attending the dress rehearsal of the last act of man's little day upon the earth. And another sign connects this chapter with Revelation 12:1. We had the first sign, and that was Israel. Now, these seven angels of wrath are connected with the judgments to follow until Christ comes, which is in chapter 19. Now, from chapter 12 to the return of Christ is a series of events which are mutually related. Now, this does not mean that there's a chronological order, but rather a logical order, which is a retracing of the same events with added detail. And this method, by the way, is the personal signature of the Holy Spirit. Beginning in Genesis, he put down his signature there. And Genesis 1, we had the creation and the 7 days given to us. Then when we came to chapter 2, he lifted out the creation of man and went over that again, but added details. That's known as the law of recapitulation. And it runs all the way through the scripture. You have the giving of the law, then Deuteronomy is the interpretation of the law with 40 years experience with it in the wilderness, and a great deal of detail has been added. Now we see that'll go all the way through the scripture. When you come to Christ, you have four gospels, not one, not two, but four, because it'll take four to give the many sides of this glorious person who came to the earth 1,900 years ago. Now, Satan, having been cast to the earth, brings down his wrath upon the remnant of Israel. Also, he makes a final thrust for world domination through the two beasts. Then God makes a final display of his wrath and concludes earth's sordid tragedy of sin. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. That is Psalm 110:1. And we're told here it was finished. Now in the Greek, that's a prophetic aorist which considers an event in the future as already accomplished. Now we have mentioned here the wrath of God, and that marks the final judgment of the great tribulation. God has been slow to anger, but here ends his long-suffering. Judgment in the final stages of the day of wrath proceeds from God, not from Satan, nor the wild beast, but it comes from the throne of God. God will judge. We are going to see here this preparation for this final picture that's given to us of the great tribulation period. But we're going to have to wait till next time to consider it in detail. So until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
These studies in Revelation are dark and deep. But remember that if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, your future is safe in his hands. If you'd like to know more about this important decision, visit our website at ttb.org and click on the banner that says, How Can I Know God? Or call us today at 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'll send you some important resources in the mail. And don't forget that you can continue your study of the Bible with Dr. McGee by joining us for our weekend broadcasts. To listen online or find out if your station carries our popular questions and answers broadcast or Dr. McGee's Sunday sermon this weekend titled Hell, Fact or Fiction, visit us at ttb.org. And then be sure to catch the Bible Bus on Monday as our study in Revelation 15 continues. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat just for you.
Jesus made it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.